Backseat Box Office, episode number 150, for the weekend of August 1st through August 3rd, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How are we?
We're good. Good to be back.
We missed you.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, sure.
Sure we did. Just because we're recording tomorrow doesn't mean we didn't miss you.
Oh.
Well, it's not tomorrow yet. Although, you were here an hour ago. Ahem. Art.
Well, okay. First off, it was never set in stone. He said, if we were lucky. And so then, you know, I had some other things I had to deal with. And so I just said, well, then it's just going to be 10 for me. If you had said hard and fast on the half, we're going, then I would have been ready. And then as it was, I came and I sat in front of the computer. I was waiting for you to call me. And then finally I called you only to have you say, I'm going to hang up on you and call you back.
Well, we had to get everybody together. I need to collect my boys.
Okay, that's fine. I'm assuming when I got online, my status switched to online, and I was waiting for you to call me.
But you're always online. You're just online on your phone, so I don't see that change.
I did not know that. I didn't realize that the phone app is just running in the background all the time. I will have to try and fix that.
Because right now you're just online, but earlier it's online on a mobile app.
Okay.
Da, da, da.
Good to know.
Learn something new every day. And what did Lena learn today?
Yes.
Did I not tell you, gentlemen, to remember those two words? Scrotal lymphedema.
Oh.
Everybody, say it with me. Scrotal.
Scrotal lymphedema.
I'm not going to. Sorry.
But you're the one that presented this to me, and I am just going to leave that out there, and
I'm
that's
the one
it.
That made you say the medical term.
You showed it to me, and that's all I'm going to say.
You should have done it like Mr. Rogers. Can you say scrotal lymphedema? I knew you could.
So, Lena, have you seen the movies lately?
Not a goddamn one. Nope. But I did finish watching season one of Orange is the New Black. And I'm happy, and I'm upset that I did, because now I have to wait a long time.
How long? What's the projected?
I don't know. But on my birthday, which is next weekend, Breaking Bad starts. Yes. And there's some new show on Food Network called Cutthroat Kitchen. And I don't completely know what it is, but judging by the commercials, the different cooks can like pay money to basically fuck with their competitors.
Okay, and like, now we have the explicit tag.
Don't we always?
I didn't notice.
See, it's different when I do the notes for Backseat Producers because I can't type out the really strong cuss words. Like I have to do F exclamation ampersand K.
I don't think there's any profanity from me because I know the kids are next door. So even if they might still hear it, even though they're not, you know, family doesn't listen to the podcast. But anyways,
my cat doesn't care.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to learn to be better because I am now living with a parrot.
With a what?
Parrot.
Oh, so, I thought he said a pet. I'm what? Like, you're calling her a pet?
No, no, no.
Okay.
Parrot.
Got it.
She loves to just parrot things back at me.
Yeah. So, there will be a point where, you know, the child will be doing that exact same thing.
Aubrey, sweetheart, scrotal lymphedema.
Oh. Yeah. Fortunately for me, Brittany has as big a potty mouth as I do.
Brittany, honey, scrotal lymphedema.
So when she finally does say something that she shouldn't, we won't be able to, won't be to exactly pin whose fault it is. So, you know, we'll just both point fingers at each other, and that'll be the end of it.
That's funny.
Have you watched anything?
I did. Well, I have watched a couple more episodes of Orange is the New Black, still working my way through.
Oh, yeah.
I finished. Okay, so I remembered what the fourth movie was
that
I was in the middle of watching. So I finished that movie. It was This Means War.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I'm thinking.
Thinking. Tony would love it.
This Means War.
Blank.
Because Reese Witherspoon's in it?
That is correct.
Is that the one with the two guys?
Yes.
Chris Pine and Sexy Lips?
Yes.
And I love that a man knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well. You've talked about him before.
I know.
So I finished.
Admit it.
What's that?
Or at least one that'll admit it.
Dude, Tom Hardy has sexy lips. Come on.
Okay, so I finished that one, and I did. I enjoyed it. It was a good action romantic comedy, and I enjoyed it. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again, but I did not get to the end and feel like I had wasted my time. So
okay.
Yes, fair to middling. And then I also finished The Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoy that picture.
And as updates on the Aubrey side of watching movies, she has watched, she specifically requested Kung Fu Panda.
Oh.
Yes, so I was not home. I did not get to watch any of it. But she walked up to Brittany and she had the DVD in her hand and she said, "Try new." I was eminently pleased to hear her structuring a sentence and also trying something new. And then I came home and The Lorax was on. So she was on a roll today.
Look at her. Expanding her animated horizons.
Right. So I don't know if Nemo showed at all today in our house. May have had a Nemo-free day. I'm not exactly positive, but I think that may have been the way it went.
And the adults rejoiced.
Yes. And I watched the last maybe 45 minutes, half an hour of The Lorax. And just remembered how good of a film that was.
Have not seen it.
Definitely worth watching.
Okay. Jeff, side note, how the hell did you get past level 147? I think I'm on week 3.5.
It's all about persistence. This would be the Candy Crush Saga portion of the show. Yes.
It's the bonbons, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is killing me.
Lena, it's been so long since I passed that level. I don't know. I don't remember.
I know, because you passed me, and then, like, the next day you were 6 more levels. And I'm like, that's it! I just gotta get past this! But they cannot.
Yeah, no, there are some brutal things that they do to you.
Oh, I've gotten as far as, like, I really could use 3 more moves, or I'll have 2 jellies left.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried different ways to do it, but I think it's all about getting the bonbon with the stripes. And bonbons are very difficult for me to get in this stupid level.
Yeah, I think that the more that you play, the better your luck becomes. But hey, just keep trying, and just one of these times, you know, it will happen.
There have been a few levels that I thought I would never get through, and then I just get to the point where I'm like, fling, 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 and then I win, and I don't even know how it happened.
Right.
So, no, I mean, I keep playing.
Don't think about it too much, or don't try to pre-plan moves.
What I'm trying to do now when I play is I'm just concentrating on the jellies. Let me just clear jellies and hope I can, you know, it's the stupid bombs, because then you get a bomb and I lose. You know, if it falls in the wrong place, then I lose. You don't have. There's not many turns I have in this.
Yeah, I and the chocolate. Where I'm at right now, there's no way to get rid of chocolate. It just keeps coming.
Oh, I hate that.
Good heart. All right, so Art, wake up. We're off of Candy Crush Saga.
I'm right here. I'm not asleep.
Okay. I keep
wrestling with whether or not I want to download this and try and catch up and understand what's going on. And in the end, I just don't.
Yeah. You're probably better that way because it is just a pyramid scheme. As all other Facebook games are, because, you know, you're supposed to get your friends to send you, you know, more lives or extra moves. It's probably, you know, you might have fun, but, you know, it might be empty calories, as they say. You know?
Well, it is candy.
All right.
Candy.
So let me tell you about a movie that I didn't watch this last week, but the week before, since I never get to talk about it since I was gone. I dragged a friend to IMAX 3D Pacific Rim.
Oh.
You were Pacific Rimmed.
I was Pacific Rimmed out.
So inappropriate.
Thank you.
So I had a great time at Pacific Rim.
Yay.
And it really, it was extremely helpful that there were two awesome trailers that played right before it.
Mm-hmm.
First one was Elysium.
That looks good.
I keep seeing more and more of Elysium, and the more and more I want to watch it. I'm almost thinking I want to see more than one movie because it does look like an awesome world that he's built in that. But the other one was, and I had no idea that this was even a thing, but it just got me in the best mood for Pacific Rim when that was the Metallica concert movie.
Okay, now that one you do need to tell Tony about.
Hearing Metallica over the IMAX sound system. Hearing Master of Puppets.
Nice.
Oh my god, it put me in the right mood. And what I would say about Pacific Rim is, wow. There's wow good parts and there's wow bad parts. And once one or either of you see the movie, I'll explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
And there was one aspect of the movie that the person I went with, we had a 15-minute debate after the movie.
Mm.
And it was about weapons. Why don't the Jaegers have weapons?
Do they need them?
They probably do.
You got to think that the scale that they're operating at, when you're talking about I heard somebody talking about the weight, and it was like 1,200 tons or something.
Yeah, if you lined them up to a Transformer, a Jaeger, I believe, is about six times as high as a Transformer.
Yeah, they're ginormous. They're like,
wow,
you know.
Okay.
They're
the giant robots of old. And so
not necessarily talking about like mech warrior weapons where you have long range missiles and short range missiles and, you know, kind of like conventional warfare kind of things. His point was, why wouldn't there be like one carrying a shield or having an axe or like the Russian Jaeger having a hammer and sickle?
Oh, I see what you were saying.
Because mainly most of the combat that occurs between the Jaegers and the Kaiju is hand to hand. So why wouldn't they have like conventional hand to hand weapons? Because it, you know, as you've seen in the trailer, the Jaegers are kind of overmatched, and the first Jaeger that you see in the movie that they use later in the movie, Gypsy Danger, is like the first generation Jaeger, whereas some of the Jaegers are later generations. But they didn't really address that issue.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I was totally thinking about conventional weapons, and a secondary thought was of collateral. You know, you miss with something that you're trying to destroy a monster with, and you can destroy half a city.
Yes.
But yeah, the whole weapons, even just, a blade at the end of the fist could make it a much more devastating attack. So yeah, that is an interesting thought. Why not?
Yeah, they actually, there's one of the Jaegers that actually has that.
Okay.
The blade at the end of the fist.
Okay. So they're not completely without weapons.
Well, yeah.
Very large scale.
Well, as you see in the trailer, it's, one of the Jaegers picks up an aircraft carrier and uses it basically as a baseball bat.
Right. Ooh.
And, you know, I was saying, but it's not as cool if he just has a baseball bat.
Right.
But he says, but no, that was something that he had a problem with. Gotcha. So he didn't enjoy it as much as I did. But, you know, I think that I've read enough of the reviews that I wasn't, and for some reason, like with Star Trek, I was a lot more nitpicky with Star Trek
mm-hmm.
and Man of Steel than I was with Pacific Rim. And probably because, you know, so many people are bitching about it. I mean, it's still pretty close. I think it's, you know, I think it's close to 60%. So it's not, you know, it's not poorly reviewed, I don't think.
Okay.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I am tickled pink that it is killing overseas.
Good. It's
doing really well in China and Japan, like 300 million well.
Wow.
So
that is the home of the kaiju movie. So.
Right. No, I understand that. So I would like to see more.
Definitely. I need to go see it. And one last comment on the weapon thing. You know, it could just be a matter of, like, you know, the torsional forces and tensile strength of how do you make something that's that elongated that's not just going to snap.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So a punching blade is probably about the best you can do.
Yeah. One thing that I was... Another thing that we kind of talked about was that they, you know, they have to helicopter drop them into, I guess, the battle zone where the kaiju are.
Right, because they're probably just so slow.
I think that would be a higher priority is getting the locomotion system going as opposed to having, you know, the weapons.
Right, right. Kind of are you familiar with heavy gear at all?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. They solve that problem by having treads on the feet. So they have a high-speed movement, you know, where they're much more vulnerable, and then they move into regular movement when they get close to combat.
Yeah.
That's not very plausible either.
Yeah.
Basically, giant roller skates.
No, one other thing is that they did such a good job with the kaiju. I was tense every time they're on screen.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't even mind the fact that I have no clue what you guys are talking about. I mean, I do, but I don't.
All the, you know, Godzilla.
Yeah.
No, that's a kaiju movie, you know, or, you know, the cartoons Transor Z or, you know, even the Power Rangers. It's all fighting giant monsters with giant robots.
Still enjoying the conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Moving forward.
Okay. So, yes, I'm done with Pacific Rim. Go see it if you can.
I'd like to. Actually, the last 2 weekends I was supposed to go to the movies, but plans ended up changing. And
I was just going to say, I went to IMAX 3D. I don't know if you necessarily need to drive out of your way to watch it that way. I could
literally walk across the street.
I enjoyed the sound so much better than the 3D of IMAX.
Oh, yeah?
I just, please release more movies in non-3D in IMAX.
The Museum of Science, which will run IMAX movies, is I leave my apartment complex, cross the street, and there's the parking lot. Hmm. And still, I have not been to the museum yet. But I made a new friend in my apartment. I met her like a month ago at the pool, and I hadn't seen her in a while. She works there as a teacher. And I saw her. I went to the pool Monday night, and she saw me, and she's like, "Oh, hold on, I'll be right back." And she ran back to her apartment and then came back and then gave me 2 tickets to the Museum of Science. Yay!
Nice.
Yeah, I guess she gets like a few promotional tickets a year to hand out to friends or people who haven't been to the museum to kind of, you know, get them in. So that was lovely.
Free stuff is always good.
Free stuff is always good, yes. And this, I think, obviously directed a little more towards art. Since I had mentioned my unofficial official, I think I pretty much can say that I might have a job at this point, which is about as official as I dare get. Hopefully, this means I get to go to Archon.
Oh, right on.
Because, well, I made the hotel reservations, but if I didn't get the job, then I was going to have to figure things out, whether I could go or not, whether I could afford to go. So yay!
Now,
because I really want to go. I like it. And again, it's the only vacation that I get this year. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Are we on to my stuffs now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Down to business?
Business.
Weekend box office. Okay. The Wolverine, no surprise to anybody, opened up at number one, grossing $53.1 million. Conjuring fell to number two, grossing $22.2 million. Despicable Me fell to number three, grossing $16.4 million. Turbo fell to fourth, grossing $13.7 million. Grown Ups 2 fell to fifth, grossing $11.6 million. And for movie pickingness, I will go one more to Red 2, grossing $9.3 million. Not a whole lot of people played this week. And on top of that, only six people played. Five people had the same picks. Those five people had the correct picks. So I don't even have to get into it again. Except for the fact that one of them, it's Jeff, Nick, Art, me, and Mrs. Beast. And Nick has a voicemail. So we will listen to that now.
Hi, this is Nick. One, Wolverine. Two, The Conjuring. Three, Despicable Me 2. Four, Turbo. Five, Grown Ups 2.
Thank you, Nick. So, Jeff, Nick, Art, Lane, and Mrs. Beast, I'll have a 25. Yay! Yay!
Woo-hoo.
Pew, 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 yay! Father Beast, 24. Still a damn fine score, sir. He had the first four correct. The Wolverine, The Conjuring, Despicable Me 2, and Turbo. The only difference was he had Red 2 in fifth instead of sixth. And that's it for people who played. And for those of you who didn't play, boo on you. I will haunt your dreams. I have that talent and that power. Okay, so for leaderboard, Kugron is still in first place with 22.8 points. Jeff, you are back up in second with 22.6 points. Woo-hoo. Scott is in third, 22.5 points. BD in fourth with 22 points. Nick is in fifth with 20.9 points. Art, you are in sixth with 20.2 points. Father Beast and I are tied for seventh with 19.4 points. Mrs. Beast is in ninth with 18.1 points. And Scuba Dave is in tenth with 16.5 points. Monty, since he hasn't played in the last 5 weeks, dropped off this week.
Mm.
And that is it for Weekend Box Office and the Results Show.
What about
now?
The
oh, mother of freak. What are you doing to me? You know, I always forget this and I close the spreadsheet. Now I have to open it again. Again, this is a simple one. You, me, you. We all picked Blue Jasmine. It was the highest average movie of all the movies, averaging $102,011.
Wow.
I'm saying Father Beast picked The Time Being, which did not report any numbers. So as far, let's see, I'm in first with $275,085. Jeff, you're in second with $249,015. Art is in third with $245,085. Father Beast is in fourth place with $59,391. Woo-woo! Now, how many movies are coming out this weekend, or are some out already?
We have two.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Art,
they both have
like
two in the title.
Two, or would you like Two Guns?
I will go with Smurfs 2. All
right, so I'm going to do the Smurfs 2 first.
Okay, Smurfs 2. Oof. 14%. Rotten on the tomato meter. 76% want to see it out of only 26,985 user ratings. The Smurfs are back with this follow-up to the blockbuster smash hit from 2011. David Stem and David Weiss provide the script from a story they wrote with Jay Shirick and David Ron. A lot of Davids going around. And Jeremy Wheeler Rovey. Has Hank Azaria, Neil Patrick Harris, Katy Perry, Jonathan Winters, Christina Ricci, George Lopez, Anton Yelchin. Hey, hey, hey.
We're the monks.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jonathan Winters, was it really filmed that long ago?
I don't know. It says he's Papa Smurf.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you scroll down to the bottom.
James Woods.
That's not who I was. James A. Woods as Peanut Father. If you go down towards the bottom, you can see that there is a crap load of additional actors for different Smurfs. Fred Armisen from Portlandia. Brainy Smurf. Alan Cumming as Gusty Smurf. Jeff Foxworthy as Handy Smurf. Sure, why not? Thompson as Greedy Smurf. Paul Rubens as Jokey Smurf. Shaquille O'Neal as Smooth Smurf. BJ Jack from The Office is Baker Smurf.
Read Jimmy Kimmel.
Passive Aggressive Smurf.
If I was going to be a Smurf, that's the one I would be. Passive Aggressive Smurf.
Mario Lopez is Social Smurf. So I guess he uses Facebook. I don't know.
Sean White, Clueless Smurf.
Yeah.
So nice.
Currently, no one ever said, no, that's a bad idea to this movie. Oh, Frank Welker is Azrael.
I want to hear what Clumsy Smurf sounds like, because the only other thing I've ever seen Anton Yelchin in is the new Star Trek movie.
Yes.
Where he was Chekhov.
He was also in Terminator Salvation.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
He was in the animated The Pirates Band of Misfits.
I didn't see that one either.
Oh, that's right. He was in the remake of Fright Night. I knew him from something else. Did you see the remake of Fright Night?
No.
Nope.
Or the original?
And then we also have John Oliver, the fill-in host of The Daily Show, is Vanity Smurf.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that the movie description, we don't need to tell you what the story is about. We just need to tell you who wrote it.
Yeah. And it has Smurf, so, you know.
Well, you know. All right, so let's move on to Two Guns, a non-animated movie. All right, so we have Two Guns, two crooked undercover officers, one from the DEA and the other from the Navy, unknowingly lead investigations on the other in this crime thriller from director Baltazar Cormacur. Mark Wahlberg, Denzel Washington, and Bill Paxton head up the starring cast. It is currently 44%, 7 fresh reviews, 9 rotten out of 16 reviews, 97% want to see it out of 30,692. It is rated R, 1 hour and 49 minutes, and it says it has drama, action, adventure, mystery, and suspense. Also starring Paula Patton from, I think, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Bill Paxton, if I need to explain who he is, you shouldn't be listening to the show.
That's right. Get out.
Fred Ward.
Yeah.
And James Marsden.
Yeah.
Edward James Olmos. And here we go into people that I don't know too well.
Those are a lot of big names.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Denzel Washington kicking some ass again. That might be a fun thing to watch.
Okay, here's a really weird segue. I'm looking down the list, and I see there is a Christopher Dempsey. Don't know who he is, don't even care, but you probably haven't, but Patrick Dempsey,
mm-hmm.
Have you heard about him racing in the Le Mans?
No.
Do either of you know what the Le Mans is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bicycle-y stuff.
No, that's the Tour de France.
I thought Le Mans was also a basic bicycle race.
Le Mans is a open-wheel, racing, car racing.
It's car racing. It is a 24-hour event.
Oh.
It is one of the most grueling races in the world. I mean, the Paris-Dakar rally is probably the only thing that's more grueling than the Le Mans. A lot of cars don't even finish because it is just 24 hours nonstop, pedal to the metal. You know, it's a team of drivers. They're switching out, you know, but they race the cars for 24 hours straight, and a lot of them just burn out. So he's going to be, they're doing a 4-episode miniseries on him competing in the Le Mans or trying to get to it. I'm not sure which. I only just saw the preview tonight, so I'm going to look into that some more, but I thought it was interesting. And he's talking about not just wanting to be an actor, but wanting to do something else, to not just be known as an actor, but be known as a racer who, you know, acts. So back on target.
Yeah.
Side note, I got a response to scrotal lymphedema.
Okay, is that good news or bad news?
No, it was from Andrew. What about it?
Oh, okay. Well, you got one sucker on the hook then. Okay, and the review blurb of the week for Two Guns comes from Curtis Walashuk from the Williamette Week. I don't know if that's a blog or a paper or something like that. The climax unfolds with all the grace of a herd of bulls storing through a Mexican standoff. So
okay.
That is a rotten review. So yeah. No, I might see it, but I'm probably going to see Wolverine before this one.
Yeah, I won't watch this till it's out on cable.
All right, so that will wrap up movies coming out this week in wide release. So now I believe it is time to pick. How are we going to figure out who goes first, Lena?
You're in the highest place on the leaderboard.
Oh, that's how we're going to play it. Okay. Well,
anything that doesn't make me do first.
Oh, that's all right.
I have my picks anyway.
I don't have to run fast, just faster than the person next to me.
There you go.
Okay. Number one, I'm going to go with Two Guns.
Okay.
Just because I don't know about the Smurfs 2. It'll probably be one of those things where the Smurfs 2 surprises. But, there's a lot of animated movies out. So I'm going to Two Guns at number one, the Smurfs 2 at number two, and then I'm just going to move everything else down. The Wolverine at three, The Conjuring at four, and Despicable Me 2 at five. And as I switch to another tab, I will... For my indie pick, just because I was listening to a podcast on the way home that had the director, so I'm going to go with that karma, and I'm going to go with the Spectacular Now, which had a lot of word of mouth at Sundance, so I'm going with that. It's a comedy/drama, so we'll see how that does. Now, I wanted to pick Europa Report, because I've been hearing a lot of good things about that,
mm-hmm.
But I just think it's too obscure. And those are my picks.
Arthur? Arturo?
Yes. Okay. I have a problem.
A little talcum powder will fix that.
I just use the baby's Desitin, you know. Okay. So I have my picks. And I don't have any real doubts in the Smurfs. The first movie opened up $35 million. I think this movie's going to do a little bit better than that, and I don't have any confidence that Two Guns can do better than that. So I'm going with Smurfs 2 at number one. And you know what? If we cut the Wolverine in half from $50 million to $25 million, I don't even know that I think the Two Guns can do better than that. So I'm actually going with Wolverine in number two. And then I'm going to put Two Guns in number three. And then The Conjuring in number four. And Despicable Me 2 in number 5. Now, my issue is Rotten Tomatoes, new movies in theaters, has a listing for Rising from the Ashes. And it has Forest Whitaker in it. And I really wanted to pick that. But on Box Office Mojo, it is not listed in theaters. So that kind of worries me. And so with that being said, I'm going to go with it anyway, and we'll see what happens. Rising from the Ashes.
Rising from the Ashes. Okay, my turn. I'm kind of splitting the difference. I am putting the Smurfs 2 at number one because Smurfs and things. Two Guns I'm putting in second because I don't even know if it's going to be any good, but I think the the cast alone will draw. I'm putting the Wolverine in third, and then the same thing as probably everyone else. The Conjuring in fourth, Despicable Me 2 in fifth. My art house pick is, I didn't actually realize this was, it says it's a 2012 movie, but it's listed as a new movie. Trees versus Zombies. I know very little bit about it other than it's likely a very hammy B movie, but one of my coworkers who is British was talking about this. Maybe it's a re-release. I have no idea. She was talking about it, and since she is no longer working there, I am picking this in honor of her. So there you go. Cockneys versus Zombies.
Okay. And I believe that will take care of all of our picks.
Indeed.
So why don't we move on to news?
I have a few little doohickeys.
Okay.
One was an article in cracked.com, but I'm only going to read one part because really that was all I found interesting. The article was Six Horrible Aftermaths Implied by Movies with Happy Endings. And the number six one was the one that I found interesting. Man of Steel, Metropolis will probably never be able to rebuild. So between General Zod's planet-destroying gravity jackhammer and the little rumble in the sky, let's see. Somebody ran the numbers on the damage, and they're freaking obscene. According to Kinetic Analysis Corporation, the leading company in predicting and evaluating the impact of catastrophic events, at least 129,000 citizens of Metropolis were killed in the climactic conclusion of Man of Steel, along with another 1 million injured and 250,000 missing. Those numbers are on the same level as the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which is unsurprising when you consider that, according to the analysis, Zod's machine caused a circumference of destruction similar to an airburst from a 20-kiloton nuclear explosion. The cost of all that devastation would total somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion. That's roughly 40 times the physical damage of 9/11 or 15 Hurricane Katrinas. It would cost more than half of the U.S. government's entire yearly budget to repair. I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of easy. Yeah. It's very easy to do it in CG.
I know.
I have to clean it up afterwards.
But, you know, I mean, a portion of that bill is going to be picked up by insurance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference between act of God and act of a God.
Act of God. Sorry.
No, I like yours better.
Thank you.
That might be a new column. Okay, well, did you guys talk about last week about what Warner Brothers announced at Comic-Con?
I don't know. What did they announce?
The Superman-Batman movie.
We talked about it a little bit. I badmouthed it. She agreed. If anything I heard was correct. But go ahead. What do you got?
Well, this is a story about who won Comic-Con, Superman, Batman, or Avengers 2. So what do you think's going on with Batman, Superman?
Well, I heard they were looking at... What's that?
Why now?
What do you mean, why now? Why now?
Why do the movie now?
Yeah, why instead of doing a Man of Steel 2, why are they jumping in with... You know, having Batman in, and we don't even know which Batman it's going to be because it's not looking like Christian Bale's Batman.
No, that Batman doesn't really fit in the Man of Steel universe that they've set up. They don't want that's really a gritty street level, you know, very that world. The world that Nolan built is very. Much more closer to realistic, you know, it's a ground level look at Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman is, you know, it's like you have street level, then you kind of have, you know, superhero, and then you have stuff that is taking place on, you know, like the cosmic scale, you know, and that's, you know, where Superman is up with, you know, like the Green Lantern and, you know, everything that's going on up at that really high level. So I don't think he really fits. You need a different Batman. You need a different worldview, a different setup. And so it shouldn't be Nolan's Batman or Bale. It should be something completely different, a different look, a different take on Batman. You know, the Batman who is part of the Justice League, who is part of that Trinity, who stands there with Superman and Wonder Woman and fits in at that power level. So you're talking about making a different Batman and telling a different type of story. And the thing that I was talking with Lena about was the fact that, you know, the people I've heard them talking about are younger people, and they're looking to do like a peer thing, whereas I think they would have been better served to do a mentor thing of a little bit of an older Batman mentoring this new hero, and the conflict coming from the kind of grizzled veteran saying, no, this is the way to do it, and the young buck being like, no, I want to do it my own way, you know, and how do you keep someone who can do whatever they want in check? But so what do you got?
No, I was just going to say, so do they need to explain, or does there have to be an origin story for this Batman since they're introducing a new Batman in this Superman / Batman?
I don't know. I don't think they do. I really don't think they do.
I was just going to say, it feels to me that they're jumping the gun.
I could see that.
How so?
Well, if they're going to basically a team-up movie in, I don't know, the second movie in this universe, from what you're telling me.
Sorry, say that again.
It feels like they're jumping the gun because all we keep hearing about is Justice League, Justice League, Justice League.
Right.
And, you know, are they doing their own thing and not following what Marvel has done? Have four movies that have, you know, stories of individual heroes, and then the Avengers that brings them all together. Whereas, you know, we have one Superman movie, and then we're going to have a Batman, you know, that's going to come in basically in Man of Steel 2. And we're going to have, you know, a different version of Batman than the Christian Bale Batman. I just wanted to see what you thought of it. You know, I don't have a good feeling about what form this is going to take. I'm all for Justice League, mm-hmm. but it seems that maybe a Flash or the Wonder Woman that we never hear, keep hearing about that never happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though at one point Joss was supposed to do Wonder Woman, but it never came to pass.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that. Okay, I don't know if they're jumping the gun. It really depends on where they go. I mean, they can, you know, they can totally be mashing these two together and then, you know, continuing on towards a Justice League movie with whoever they get to play the Batman part and keeping Cavill and moving forward towards Justice League. Yeah. And to say that, you know, it needs to be individual movies, you kind of had some seeds even for the Avengers in Iron Man 2, where you saw Nick Fury and you saw the Black Widow and you saw some of these other, you know, the people from S.H.I.E.L.D. So you can say even in that movie they were building towards it, and it wasn't so much just the little teaser at the end, but they were an actual part of the movie. So there is a little bit of a precedent for that, of bringing them in a little earlier.
Yeah, well, I think there's more of a plan with Marvel.
For sure. They laid a lot of groundwork and they did a lot of building. And I think in some respects, DC is just trying to play catch up, which there's nothing wrong with that. Sure. I mean, as long as they do it right, there's a lot of potential there.
Okay, now let's switch over to Marvel. What do you think about the announced name of Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean,
you whatever. You do or you don't?
I don't. It's just another villain, you know. I know people, you know, they're talking about Ant-Man and Hank Pym, and because he was the creator of Ultron originally. Mm-hmm. But you know what? None of these things are set in stone. And I even heard one rumor that said that they're not doing Ant-Man. They're not, you know, Hank Pym is not going to be the creator of Ultron. They're coming up with some other origin story for Ultron. That is easily changed. They don't have to cling to that, you know.
I was surprised because that goes away. I mean, it almost goes away from the Thanos story to me.
But like we said, Thanos is the end cap. They only have to touch on him in the second movie.
Right. So, and I've been reading a couple spots that they could very easily just make Tony Stark the inventor of Ultron.
Sure.
Just like, I don't know if you've heard about some of the talk about Days of Future Past, the X-Men movie. A little bit here and there. That's coming, because that story, I guess, Kitty Pryde is the one that came back in time.
Okay.
That they're, you know, that we might see Wolverine be the one that comes back in time. Hmm. So there's a little fudging of these stories, which isn't necessarily bad. You know, at work today, I Wikipedia'd the Age of Ultron storyline that I guess that just wrapped up, that came out, I don't know, this year or the year before. Oh my God, I could not follow it because there's so much stuff going on and there's no way they could fit that in a movie.
Right. No, they have to pare it down. They have to simplify it. They have to cut, you know, away a lot of the, you know, when these storylines, they run for, you know, months and months and months.
Well, yeah, it's just the Marvel Universe that they're doing in the comics is so far down the road than, you know, you can even try to do in the movies. So, it's pretty much just kind of looking where we are in the DC movies that will be coming and then the news from Marvel. And I was surprised that they even had a panel because I know that the Disney convention is going to be in a couple weeks in Anaheim because, you know, Marvel is a Disney property now. They could have just done all this at the D23 convention, but there's probably not going to be as many people as not as much media coverage.
It's not as big a deal. No. I mean, they can make more announcements to start hyping, you know, their own, to start trying to draw people to their own deal. But missing out on Comic-Con is not an option for these movies.
True. And also during the Marvel Comic-Con panel, I guess they had some of the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy. And I don't know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy. Before they were making a movie, all I heard was James Gunn is directing it and writing it. And I don't know if you've liked his movies before. They're kind of pulpy in my...
What else has he done?
He's done Super. He's also done Slither.
Okay. I did not see either one of those.
There's other ones. But I was looking at the cast, and I am blown away by the people that they have in this movie. They have Karen Gillan from Doctor Who who's playing Nebula. And I'm just going to run through these because I have no idea who these people are. as far as the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation is going to play Peter Quill / Star-Lord. Zoe Saldana is going to play Gamora. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is going to be Ronan the Accuser. Dave Bautista is going to play Drax the Destroyer, who they were saying that maybe that might have been Vin Diesel playing that character.
Right.
Benicio del Toro as a character called the Collector. Michael Rooker as the character Yondu.
Uh-huh.
And Digimon Hunsu plays Korath the Pursuer. Yeah, then you have John C. Reilly, Glenn Close. So there's some pretty sizable names in this movie. No mention of Rocket Raccoon, which I don't know if it's all going to be CG or what that means. But this is going to slot in after Captain America and the next Thor, but before Avengers 2. So we will have to see what the trailers look like for this little guy. Lena, do you have anything else you want to talk about? Because I got one last news.
I did, but I closed it. And it was just some like casting news, but I actually closed it and don't remember where it was.
Okay, so on Variety.com has a little blurb that Jeffrey Katzenberg, the DreamWorks animation chief, I don't know if he had a press conference, but he wanted to explain why Turbo did so bad. And his main reason for why it did so bad was basically the same reason that the monkey died in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He said it was because it was a bad date. Basically okay. Saying it came out at the wrong time. The film's soft opening was a clear result of an oversaturated marketplace and difficult release date. So basically he's saying, we messed up. We shouldn't have had it come out in a summer that was going to have five other animated movies, either that have already been out or they're going to be out soon, because Planes 2 comes out next week. We've always had Monsters University. We've had our Smurfs 2 comes out this week. Epic came out a month or two ago. They were considering having Turbo come out the same week as Fast and Furious, but they said that some of the jokes reference Fast and Furious, so they thought it'd be better if it came out a little bit after that. He also goes on to say that we don't consider it a flop because it's made $100 million. Most of the people were saying we're expecting $150 million to $250 million, so it's going to fall short of that. But they did spend 20% less on Turbo than they did on Rise of the Guardians, Rise of the Guardians didn't do well either. But they said everything's okay because the toys are selling like hotcakes. I haven't seen any kids in our neighborhood walking around with toy snails or taking them to bed at night. And they're also planning a animated series that will be shown on Netflix. So
interesting.
This isn't the last you'll see of a super fast snail. So that's it on Turbo.
Alrighty.
That's all I had for news.
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, I've got... Well, first and foremost, G.I. Joe Retaliation on Blu-ray DVD. Didn't catch it in the theaters. I'm a big G.I. Joe fan. I'm going to have to see about getting this one and watching it because I like it. I like it a lot.
Excellent.
I also have something to mention. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just remembered something.
That's okay. Yes.
There is a documentary on the whole story of Firefly and Serenity. I don't know if you've seen it. I own it. It is an excellent documentary, but of course I'm biased. It is called Done the Impossible, and it is available for instant streaming on Netflix. I highly recommend that anyone that has gone through and watched Firefly and Serenity to check this out, because it really does a great job, and all of the writers, directors, and all the cast, or most of the cast, if I remember correctly, there's interviews with everybody about what it was like when they were canceled and how they came back with the movie and the whole experience. And now I'm done. Okay.
Okay.
I will have to check that out.
Sounds very interesting. I have
Avatar,
nothing.
Oh, okay. Oh. I was going to say, Avatar 2 finally has a screenwriter. I found this interesting because of the things he has worked on. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. What else did I see that was really interesting? The Finder. Did you guys watch that TV show?
No.
No.
That was the, he was a guy who was, it was the last TV show that Michael Clark Duncan did before he passed.
Okay.
And I really, really, really enjoyed the show, and I was really sad, you know, sad to hear Michael Clark Duncan died, but really sad because I thought it really put a nail in the coffin of The Finder possibly coming back. He also reworked The War of the Worlds. That's not as big of a screenplay for War of the Worlds, which didn't really care for. But Black Dahlia, he also worked on. I think that's about it. So. That could be interesting. I didn't even know they were going to do a second movie. I thought it was kind of a standalone thing. And with as long as it took them to do the first one, though, how long are we talking before this actually comes out? Because the first Avatar, he worked on it for, what, 7 years?
Really?
I think it was something like that, yeah.
Wow.
Part of it was that he had to develop the technology he wanted to shoot because it's stereoscopic, so there's two cameras because it replicates the human you know, human vision. So I think that's part of why it took so long.
Okay. So that will cut down some time.
Because he has said that he wants to make more avatars so he can have more money to go to the bottom of the ocean again.
Because he's
big into, you know, exploring in a submarine. So right. I don't know. Sometimes movies never get made. Once I see the trailer, I'll be excited, but
I hear you there. Okay. I did a quick search because you talked about how they said Rise of the Guardians didn't do that good. And I thought I remembered it staying in the theaters forever. But yeah, it only did just over 100 million domestic, but it did 300 million worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So on a $145 million budget. So it's not that big of a failure, I wouldn't think.
Okay.
But I think he's doing a little damage control because The Croods is easily their most profitable film. So when you compare, you know, Rise of the Guardians and then Turbo compared to The Croods, I mean, The Croods is clearly the winner.
Right. Okay. All right. And last but not least, I want to see how many of these you agree with at this point in time. The title of the article is 6 Actors Will Watch in Anything. And the reason they wrote the article, let's be honest, this weekend, Two Guns doesn't look like anything special. An off-the-rack action thriller that teams up 2 special agents trying to figure out who set them up. And sorry, I nodded off midway through that description. But what Two Guns really about isn't the plot, but its actors. The first chance we've ever gotten to see Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington team up. And that's enough to make it worthwhile. So, Elaine, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned that you thought it would do at least second place because of the people who are involved. Jeff, you put it in first, and I think that's got to be a big factor in that. So then they go on to list other actors they will go to see a movie in just because that actor is in it. And I want to see, yay or nay, how many of these do you agree with?
Okay.
First on the list, Tom Cruise.
Nope.
No.
Jeff?
Nope.
No. No, I've mentioned before, I'm done with Tom Cruise in action movies.
Absolutely.
I've seen all of his tricks.
Right. Okay, and I also agree, no. Moving on. Paul Newman.
No.
No.
No. Not enough to pull me into anything.
Right. No. And that is, they said, actors will watch anything. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Nicolas Cage.
No.
If I was Adam, yes.
But you are not Adam.
So no.
Jeff?
Mm-mm.
No.
But you know what? I would tell Adam about it.
Oh, of course. This one is going out to Tony. Reese Witherspoon.
I'm going to answer for him. No. I'm qualified enough.
No, I think that's a safe bet. But how about yourself?
No.
No.
I almost will say yes to cancel out Tony.
I will say yes. I've seen a lot of her movies, and I don't feel like I've ever come away disappointed. I don't know what Tony hates about her. But yeah, like I said, I just watched This Means War, and I enjoyed it. Okay, now we're getting to it. Jason Statham.
No, I've never seen anything he's done.
Really?
Nope, not a damn thing.
Probably
couldn't even pick him out in a crowd.
Wow, I find that surprising.
Oh. And if I have seen him in a movie, I don't even know what it is.
Don't even know what it is. Okay.
Jeff? Okay, sidebar. Lena?
Yes.
Uh-huh?
You seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Not yet.
Okay, because wait a minute. What was he in that? Okay, hold on. I think he was in that. I think he was also in Snatch, if I remember correctly.
Haven't seen that yet either.
Yeah, you gotta see both of those. You're not gonna become a super fan of him, but you want to see more of his movies. I am also a no on Jason Statham.
Okay.
But I think I'm trying to remember, or I'm trying to figure out if there's anyone that I, if I was going to come up with my list of like people that I'll see regardless of genre, plot, or who else is in it. I don't know if
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
No, no, that's okay. That's okay. Perfectly fine. It shows that we're on the same wavelength. And so you can't think of anybody who you like, that person's in a movie, I'm definitely interested in seeing it.
No.
Okay.
I'm
not that I would see it regardless, no.
Okay.
I'm almost there with Ryan Reynolds. Almost. Because I think I've seen most of his movies. Most of them, except for that comedy they did about college. I'm trying to remember. Van Wilder.
Oh, so many good movies. How did you know? Okay. And Guy Pearce is the last one.
No.
No.
Yeah, I think I've only seen one Guy Pearce movie, Memento.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, three. Even though he was, you know, I don't think he was top billed in that movie.
Which movie?
Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the main villain.
Yes. After you watched it, you figured that out, but not from the trailer.
Not from the trailers, no. Not at all. That's fine. Yeah, I thought the list was terrible. I don't know who made, I don't know what they were thinking when they made that list, but no, I did not agree at all.
If you go off of box office numbers, then you probably would have to say Tom Cruise. You'd probably have to say, you know, some of the other names that were on your list, even though a couple of those guys are, I think they're bigger in Great Britain than they are out here. Guy Pearce and Statham.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I'm looking at the list.
If we confined it to romantic comedies, what actors or actresses would you? And the only reason I say that is because you've seen a lot of romantic comedies.
I have.
Or, you know, probably more movies in general than me personally.
That's probably not a stretch.
And then one, you know, we've already mentioned Reese Witherspoon. Sandra Bullock?
Back in the day.
Is she?
Nowadays? What's that?
Is she plot proof, or it doesn't really matter what the story's about?
Back in the day, I would have said yes, you know, 5 years ago, maybe. But nowadays, I look at her with a leery eye. I'm like, I don't know. I think it was post Miss Congeniality 2.
Okay.
Because I watched Miss Congeniality and I really enjoyed it, and then I got suckered into 2 and I was like, oh, that was horrible.
Okay, so what did you think of The Proposal?
I enjoyed The Proposal, but that had Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, okay.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Yes.
I need to go.
Okay.
But I made the call, so we have a little bit of an issue here.
No, that's okay. We can be done.
I'm sorry.
No, no, no. That is okay.
Things are not looking well on my end.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we will, to be continued.
Yes.
Or there's nothing.
Thank
you. You can pick that up. I'm sorry. No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to thank everyone for listening, and I'm sorry I had to cut this a bit short. If I hadn't made the call, I could have just left. But I have to be the big blue meanie.
That's okay.
But thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Always fun, always a pleasure. And enjoy your weekends. Enjoy whatever movies you're going to see. And since we all pick different ones, go see whatever you like.
Yes, and we will catch you next week.
Oh, yeah. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.